the coach, is with us. Good to see you, Bill. How are you?
Doing well.
Bill, oh, we just got to turn your not your fault. It's our fault. There we go.
There it is.
Hey,
there, Michael, doing well.
We were just mentioning to Vince about your 200th win. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, that's that means I coached a lot of good players. That's what that means. So those guys are the ones that win them. They go out there and they're the ones who make the plays. So I've been very fortunate to coach a lot of great players.
I'm just curious, do you remember your first win as vividly as you do your 200th?
It was right here against New England.
Was it really?
Sure was.
Yeah?
It was a shutout, too, wasn't it? You guys shut them out?
It was a low-scoring game. I want to say like 17-6 or something like that.
Yeah, I thought
it came right down to the wire. I think it came right down to the wire. Then we won next week with beat Cincinnati on a late kick. So in other words,
you remember all of them.
I don't know about that, but I definitely remember. You remember that first one.
So, you talk about some of the great players that you've coached, and you don't get 200 if you don't have great players. Do you remember any of the things you learned from players, say, along the way that you still use today? Maybe it was win number 25, somebody said something to you, or win number 75, where you got a morsel of insight from somebody?
Well, sure, absolutely. Yeah, there's plenty of those guys. I learned a lot from them, and certainly guys that had different styles, different playing styles, different ways of doing things. As you coach players later on in your career, sometimes you find things that you can relate positively to another way of doing it, another way of doing it well, or something to work well for somebody else when maybe the method you're trying isn't having the kind of results you want. Find another way, and you have experience with somebody else has done that.
What was your goal? I'm sorry, Dale.
Sorry, my fault.
What was your goal when you started coaching? Was it, win a Super Bowl? Was it, win 200 games? I mean, what stood out to you?
When I got into coaching, it certainly wasn't for the money. It was because I, enjoyed the game and the competitiveness of it and all that goes with football. So, $25 a week. That isn't why you do it. But things have worked out well financially since then, so I have no complaints about that. But, that's not why I got into it. As a head coach, I think you just try to, have the best year that you can each year. I don't think in 1991 I was thinking about 2014. I probably wasn't thinking about 1993 too much either. I was probably thinking about, 1991, and that's kind of what our job is year to year and week to week. So right now I'm just thinking about Oakland. I'm not really worried about 2017, or I'd pick out some other year. I have no idea.
Late in a week, when you find out that one of the best players in the NFL is not going to play against you, how does it change your defensive game plan? What alterations do you have to make in your plan for the game when you find out Adrian Peterson isn't playing?
I think they still have good quality backs, and I think that Norv's, the system that he runs is still pretty much his system, so... I think it will be no different than a player got hurt on the first series or first quarter of the game, that they would probably do what they would kind of normally do with the other 10 guys. And I think it's really hard to change an entire offense or defense when one guy goes out. It's easier to try to, replace whoever that person is and work around it the best you can. I'm not saying it'll be 100% the same, but, you don't want everybody else. You don't want 10 other guys having to do something different just because one guy isn't in there. So... you have to have some kind of continuity there. And they did. Norv obviously had, called a great, first drive, had us off balance with some of those misdirection plays, and pretty much went right down the field. So I'm sure they were, happy with where they were, the way they started the game. They should be. They had an excellent drive, and we just weren't as ready for it as we should have been. From a coaching staff standpoint, we've got to do a better job on that, and not given that opportunity early in the game.
There were some pretty shocking accusations against Adrian Peterson that led to his deactivation. He was reinstated today. Do you have any thoughts about how that transpired, the decision to deactivate him, the decision to reinstate him? Just any thoughts on Adrian Peterson off the field?
No, not really. We're just, fortunate to win yesterday and ready to move it on to Oakland. That's really where I'm at.
When you add's not the right word. When I notice a guy like Cam Fleming as much as I did yesterday, is it because he's being used appreciably different, or was I just not paying enough attention in week one?
He did some of the same things against Minnesota he did in Miami, but more of them. And, of course, the game situation was different. We were ahead. We were able to have more of a, regular offensive system rather than trying to come from behind in the third quarter, fourth quarter, throw the ball 20 sometimes in the fourth quarter. So I think you saw more of that, particularly at the end of the game when we were trying to run our four-minute offense. That he was in there quite a bit, and in those he was sprinkled in there during the early part of the game, but I think was in there more a little bit more in the fourth quarter.
And was there more of a commitment to the run going into this game? It seemed that way watching it sitting at home like I was.
Well, once again, it's easy to commit to something when it's going fairly well. When you're averaging 2 yards a carry, it's hard to stay committed to it. You've got to go out there and gain yards. So if you're gaining yards, it's a lot easier to continue to do that. Again, the score certainly played into the situation. So we're able to hand the ball off more, and we were gaining more with our running game. So that all made it favorable.
Tell us what you saw on the great special teams play from Chandler Jones. I'm sure there was more involved than just Chandler, but from start to finish, why was that play successful?
I think it was a good team play, a real good combination of a good scheme from Coach O'Brien and Coach Judge, and good execution by the players. And on the extra point, Vince and Silver Siliga came hard and I think forced the Minnesota offensive linemen to respect their power. And on the field goal, they both stunted, kind of charged inside, and I think Khalil was probably expecting a little bit more of a power charge, and he kind of stepped and didn't get any resistance and sort of fell a little bit to the inside. Chandler was able to go around, and Rob did a good job of taking the tight end, Wooten, and sort of keeping him from closing down. So Chandler had a good space there that was created by his teammates, and then Chandler did a good job of coming through and flattening down the line and getting over kind of in front of the guard, not running up the field, but getting in front of the guard where the ball was in flight, and was able to get his hands up and then made a great play on the scoop and score. And Devin gave him a good block there, and so obviously that was a huge play, really a 10-point swing there at the end of the half. I mean, Walsh was a good kicker, and certainly the line the ball was on looked like it would have been probably good. So that was a big play for us.
Chandler Jones must be living right too, because the ball came right to him, which helped the race down the sidelines as well.
Right. Well, I think that's always the right play you want to make. Anytime you block a kick and it's behind the line of scrimmage, like what happened last year when we blocked the field goal against Miami, and Steve Gregory came over, picked the ball up on the sideline, and tried to advance it. And there's a lot of big, slow guys out there on the field on that offensive field goal team, a bunch of linemen and a holder and a kicker and a snapper. And so it's not really a great tackling group that if you can get the ball and start running with it, you got a pretty good chance to score. Going all the way back to the 2001 championship game where Brandon Mitchell blocked a kick, Troy Brown scooped it up, lateraled it to Antoine Harris. I mean, they just don't have anybody out there to, it's not a good tackling team. So if you can ever get your hands on the ball, you have a good chance to advance it.
I know you value versatility almost above all else when you're dealing with football players. But is it fair to say at this stage of his young career, Chandler Jones looks more comfortable standing up than with his hand in the dirt?
I think Chandler does a good job. He's really done a good job at whatever we've asked him to do. I think he can play down. I think he can play on his feet. He's probably played more down than he has up, but I think he does a good job of both. He's an outstanding athlete. He's smart. He's got good length. He's got good power. Even though he looks kind of tall and lean, he's very explosive through his lower body and his hips. He's got great length and good quickness for his size. So, he's got a good combination of skills. He works hard. He's improved and works on his weaknesses and continues to get better as a player at all the things that we talked about. Thought one of the best things he did yesterday was, jam the tight end, was jam Rudolph. He knocked him down, sent him off his route a couple times, which was obviously a key guy in the Minnesota passing game. So I thought he played very unselfishly in terms of doing what the team needed him to do, not just rush the passer, but play the run, jam receivers, and defeat blockers, and block kicks, and all those things.
So our producers looked it up. First win, 20-0.
Was it 20-0?
1991. So it was easier than you easier than
you were both
easier than I remember.
But you're probably nervous the entire game. You're like 2 minutes to go, a minute to go.
Right.
Thinking what could happen.
And no, no, yeah.
How can I get back into this game?
We weren't a very good team, and we were. I'd say no lead was really safe, too safe with us. The week before we played, we opened with Dallas, and that was Jimmy Johnson. Of course, they had a real good team, went on to win the Super Bowl a couple years later. And I remember talking to Jimmy about that game a few years back, you know, like in 2002, 2003, 2004, somewhere in there, whatever it was. And we were talking about the game, and I think that Dallas played Washington the following week, and Jimmy was like, you know, I don't think we really practiced for you guys that week. I'm not even sure if we did a scouting report. We, you know, we had a big game the next week, and we want to make sure we were ready for that one. You guys are terrible.
Now, let's see how good it is. Can you tell me the score of the Dallas game?
You know, we played them actually fairly competitively. I'll say like 26-14 or something like that.
How about exactly 26-14?
Yeah, it was surprisingly competitive. I mean, because they had them all, Smith and Irvin and Novacek and
some guy named Aikman.
Aikman, the big receiver from Tennessee, big offensive line, Nate Newton, all those guys. They were good on defense, too. We couldn't block them, so I'm not sure how we got 14 points, but they were a good team. Yeah, it was a tough opener.
So would you tell the guys, hey, just hang in there. Don't get blown out? Is that the...
I mean, we were competing, but I think Jimmy was kind of getting ready for next week, you know.
Looking ahead.
Right.
Yeah.
I still think it's inherently unfair, not that I necessarily care as a Patriots fan, to make those West Coast teams play 1 o'clock games here, like the Oakland Raiders are going to have to do next weekend. It's got to be tough on your bodies playing at, what, 10 o'clock in the morning body time?
Right. Well, I mean, look, Dale, for every long week's a short week, for every long trip's a short trip, for every short, you know, it all evens out in the end the way the schedule's set up. So sooner or later, the East Coast plays on the West Coast plays on the East Coast. It just, it all evens out. And every time we talk about a short week, and there's somewhere along the line, there's a long week to make up for it. So, and all the other teams have pretty much the same deal. So I don't think that's really, in the end, what it's about. It's about how you utilize your time and your opportunities to prepare, and then obviously how you perform when you get the opportunity. And that's what we got to do, you know, a better job of, and you know, just playing better football, having fewer penalties, just being more sound fundamentally. And there's still a lot of room for us to improve.
That nice picture that the Patriots sent out yesterday after the game of Robert Kraft presenting you with the game ball after the game. Very nice.
Yeah, honestly, I kind of lost track of all that. And when he started to make the presentation, I wasn't really sure what he was doing. And he started to make the presentation, I realized it was about me. So it's very flattering to be listed in those with those other great icon coaches. And again, I've been very fortunate to coach a lot of good players. That's what that means.
Congratulations.
And have a lot of good coaches on my staff.
Congratulations on the win.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
We'll see you next week.
All right, Michael.